This morning and tonight, I'm going to speak on the same subject, and that subject is what really matters. What really matters? You know, it's important for us to prioritize the right things in our life. It's important for us to know what's important. It's important for us to know what really matters. And as I mentioned before, I have 3 points for the whole day. I'm going to make one this morning, and then I have 2 more tonight. And I want you to understand, when I talk about what really matters, what's really important, what should we really prioritize, I'm not talking about the things that man says is important. I'm not talking about the things that man says we ought to prioritize. I'm not talking about the things that man says really matters. I'm talking about the things that God says really matters, that are important, that we ought to prioritize. I want you, if you have your Bibles, I want you to keep them open there to Jeremiah chapter 9 for just a little bit as I lay the foundation for the message this morning. It says in verse 23, the first verse that we read, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, whenever you read a Bible verse like that, you ought to pay special attention to it, because the writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying, hey, this is not me saying this. This is not Jeremiah saying this. This is Jeremiah saying, hey, this is what the Lord is saying. Of course, God has said everything that's in the Bible, but when he puts a phrase like that in a verse, we ought to pay special attention to it, because we know that God is talking to us. And so here's what he says: "Let not the wise man glory or celebrate or get excited about his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." What God is saying is none of those things really matter. How much education you have, how much money you have, how mighty you, and I'm going to use that word mighty for not only the power, but how a person looks, okay? And so what God is saying is, it doesn't matter how much education you have, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter what you look like, those things don't matter. Now, I find it interesting, this verse was written thousands of years ago, and it deals with the 3 things that today psychologists and the world says how we ought to evaluate people. We ought to evaluate people for how smart they are. We ought to evaluate people by how much money they have. And we ought to evaluate people by what they look like. Now, I'm not saying this. If you go to psychologists, you know, some people pay money to help them out in the way they think, they say this is how the world judges success. This is what the world thinks is what matters: how smart you are, how much money you have, and what you look like. Now, those 3 things are for both men and women, but they vary in order for men and women. For men, it's how smart you are, what you have, and your might or your physical strength or what the way you look, okay? So those 3 things are the top 3 things that help, from a worldly standpoint, determine what's important for men, how men are judged, how the value of a man is calculated. How smart he is, how much money he has, and what he looks like. Now, for a woman, again, the same psychologists tell us it's the same 3 things, but they're in different order. The first one for a woman is what they look like, okay? That's probably why there's so much money spent on beauty aids, okay? Thousands and millions and... lots of money, okay? Because society says for a woman, that's how you judge her worth. The first thing is what she looks like. The second thing is possessions. And the third thing is intelligence. And so thousands of years before the world decided that these are the 3 things that we're going to judge a person's worth, that we're going to, thousands of years before the world says these are the 3 most important things, these are the things that matter, God was saying through his prophet Jeremiah, hey, these things don't matter at all. Don't celebrate, don't rejoice, don't glory in wisdom, don't glory in might, don't glory in riches. If you're going to celebrate something, it ought to not be how you look, it ought to not be how much money you got, it ought to not be how smart you are. By the way, even Christians get caught up in this value scheme. Even Christians, if we're not careful, measure their worth and the worth of others by those same three things. What's the true worth of every person? You won't find it in anything that the world says. You won't find it in any standard or criteria that the world holds up. You'll find what the value of every person. All we need to do is go to John 3:16 and we can see the value of every person. For God so loved the world. For God so loved every person that he gave his only begotten son to die in their place. Don't let the world tell you that you're not important if you don't look so good. Don't let the world tell you that you're not important if you don't have many material possessions. Don't let the world tell you that you're not important if you don't know too much. God says, you're important to me, so important that I sent my only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. So the prophet Jeremiah tells us, hey, don't glory in riches. Don't glory in might. Don't glory in wisdom. Now, again, the Bible doesn't say that we shouldn't try to look nice. We ought to do our best to look nice. We ought to do our best to learn things. We ought to do our best to be good financial stewards. We ought to pay our bills. We ought to save for the future. But what God says, in the grand scheme of things, those things don't matter much. Don't let the and again, don't let the world tell you what's important. Don't let the world tell you what matters. You listen to God and let him tell you what's important and let him tell you what matters. And he does that in the next verse. He says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." You want to glory about something? You want to know what really matters? You want to know what's really important? That you understand and know God. Amen. That's what's important. That's more important than riches. That's more important than might. That's more important than wisdom. Again, not knowing about God, but knowing God. Knowing about God is just an education. But knowing God is a personal experience. Amen. Knowing God is being a Christian. You can't know God unless you're a Christian. You can know about God. The Bible says that the devils know about God. And Judas knew about God. But Satan doesn't know God. Judas did not know God. Knowing God means that you come to the point in your life where you realize that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty on Calvary's cross, and you've come to him in faith, believing that what he did on Calvary will pay for your sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, being separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 17, verse 3, the Bible says this, "And this is life eternal." And this is life eternal. He's going to define it for us. John's going to define it for us in that verse. "That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Knowing God is knowing Jesus. And knowing that he died for our sins and accepting that death on Calvary to pay for our sins, that's knowing God. That's being saved. That's having your sins forgiven. That's reserving a home in heaven. Knowing God. And God says, you want to know what's important? You want to know what really matters? It's not how much money you have. It's not what you look like. It's not how much education. It doesn't matter that the world says those are important things. It doesn't matter that that's what the world is going to use to judge the value of you as a person. What matters is what God says is important and what God says is important is knowing me.
Amen.
Knowing me. Now, that verse goes on and says there's three things I want you to understand and know about me. And he's saying, this is really what matters. This is really what's important. This is what you should give this is what you should make the priorities of your life. Knowing and understanding me and these things about me. And there's three things listed there in verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. You want to glory about something? You want to get excited about something? You want to make something important in your life? Then you know God, and you know that God is the God that extends to us loving kindness. Loving kindness. Loving kindness is the mercy and the grace that God extends to every sinner. Loving kindness is a mercy that God extended to us when he didn't send us to hell because of our sins. Loving kindness is the grace of God that offers us salvation in Jesus Christ. And so knowing the loving kindness of God means that you have experienced that loving kindness for yourself, that you have applied it to your life, that you have applied that loving kindness to your sins, that you have asked Jesus to save you, and he saved you, and that you have the mercy and the grace, the loving kindness of God in your life. David, when he wrote Psalm 51, he wrote this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." Don't tell me God's not a hillbilly. He's got the word wash in the Bible. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." You northerners think that God's a God of the north. He's a God of the south too. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The loving kindness of God is his mercy. The loving kindness of God is his grace. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve, hell. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. His forgiveness, eternal life, a home in heaven. Look, if you're here today and you're not saved, you do not know yet the loving kindness of God. But he wants you to know it this morning. He wants to give it to you this morning. He's extended his mercy to you already. He's let you live to this point to hear the gospel again. You're a sinner. You deserve hell. Just like many of us is in this room. We're all sinners. Just some of us are saved and some of us are not. But if you're here and you've never received Christ, you're still under the condemnation of sin. You're still under the judgment of sin. God has extended his mercy to you today and all the days of your life because he lets you live. He hasn't sent you to hell. Now he wants to extend his grace to you. Amen. He wants to give you something that none of us deserve. He wants to give you his love. He wants to give you the blood of his son to wash you thoroughly from all your iniquity and all your sin. All you have to do is take the gift. Take the gift. The Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You want to know the loving kindness of God this morning? That's what matters. That's what's really important. Then you take the gift that Jesus purchased for you on Calvary. In his loving kindness, in his mercy and his grace, he purchased for us the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
And God will give it to you this morning if you'll take it. If you'll take it. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment. Judgment. Now, I want you to listen closely because you might think, well, he's going to talk about the judgment of God, sending people to hell if they reject Christ. And I'm sure that that verse could include this, but I'm going to take a little bit of a different direction with it for my second point.
God is saying, what really matters is not what you look like. It's not how much money you got. It's not how smart you are. It's that you know me, that you know my loving kindness, and that you know my judgment. 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 You see, as his children, once we've experienced his loving kindness, we become his children. Before we got saved, we were under the judgment of God for our sins. After we get saved, we're no longer judged for our sins. They're as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest part of the sea. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. But judgment in the life of a Christian is when we let sin come into our life and it causes us not to be what everything that God wants us to be. Paul puts us in the analogy of running a race. God's given us each a race to run. And if we let sin beset us, if we let sin come into our life, it slows us down from running that race that God wants us to run. So as his children, just like our human fathers did, when we disobey God, he judges us and he chastens us. Not because he doesn't love us. He chastens us because he does love us. I've told you before, every time I got a whipping, my dad said, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I said, no, I didn't say amen, Brother Ferris. I said, Dad, you are lying to me. It's not going to hurt you as much as it does me. It's going to hurt me more than it does you. And I never understood what he meant as a dad until I became one and had to issue corporate punishment to my children. It hurt me worse than it did them. I didn't want them to disobey. I didn't want to have to punish them, but I loved them enough to do it. And that's what God does to us. He loves us enough that when we step out of the straight and narrow way, when we quit running the race because we've let sin come into our life, our Heavenly Father takes the belt out, takes the switch out, takes the razor strap out, and takes us to the woodshed and says, you're my child. I want you to live like one of my children. If you don't, I'm going to have to punish you, not because I'm mad at you, but because I love you. I want you to serve me. I want you to live for me. I want you to represent me. You can't do that with sin in your life, and so I'm going to punish you. The Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he who the father chasteneth not? If you had a dad that spanked you, if you had a mom that took the switch after you, you praise God for that dad. You praise God for that mom. They were painting a picture of our Heavenly Father who loves us enough to spank us when we deserve it, who loves us enough to take us out to the woodshed when we deserve it. He loves us enough that when sin comes into our life, his judgment is going to come. Amen. Again, because he loves us. And God says, you know what's really important? It's not how you look. It's not how much money you got. It's not how smart you are. What's really important, what really matters, is that you understand and know me, that I give loving kindness and judgment. And then the last part of that verse, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Righteousness. What God says is, here's what really matters. Here's what's really important, that you understand and know me, that I am a God of loving kindness. That's how we get saved. That's how we come into his kingdom. That's how we get into the family, his loving kindness, his mercy and grace. But also understand and know that I'm a God of judgment. As one of my children, if you sin, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to chasten you. Again, because I love you. Because I love you. And I'm also a God of righteousness. Righteousness. That's what God wants for every one of his children. He wants us to be righteous. And when we know God, when we experience his loving kindness, when we understand that he will chasten us if we sin as a Christian, then we do our best to live in a righteous way. Amen. That's what God wants for his children. He wants us to live righteous. Now, let me just give you an example. I don't make these things up. And Carol gave me an example this morning. Carol's the one that came to me and said, Pastor, where we go to the grocery store, the Kroger, they ask us if we'd be willing as a church to let them come in and give us flu shots. Then she said this, they knew we went to church. Amen. They knew we went to church. Hey, everybody in our life ought to know not only that we go to church, but that we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody in our life ought to know that we serve a God who not only loves us, but who will discipline us when we need to be disciplined, and that we're doing our best to live the kind of life that will be pleasing to him. The kind of life that's pleasing to God is a life of righteousness, where we do our best to live by this book, where we do our best to live, again, in a way that's pleasing to God. And God says, you want to know what's really important? You want to know what really matters? It's not what the world says. It's not. It's not what you look like. It's not how much money you got. It's not how smart you are. And again, I'm not diminishing any of that things. I think God wants us to look the best we can. I think he wants us to be good financial stewards. And I think he wants us to be learners. But that's not what determines our worth. That doesn't determine how important we are to God. All you need to do is, like I said before, is to go back to John 3:16, and you'll know how important that you are to God. You're important enough to him that he sent his son to die for your sins. And so God says, you want to know what's important? That you understand and know me. That you know my loving kindness, which will get you into the family of God. That you know my judgment, which will discipline you when you step outside of that straight and narrow way. And that you know my righteousness. You see, as a Christian, our goal is ought to become becoming more and more like Jesus. That ought to be our goal, to be becoming more and more like him. He was righteous in every fiber of his body. Not one unrighteous thing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example. He's our goal. Paul said, I press for the mark of the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to be like him. And that ought to be the goal of every Christian. And that's what God says. That's what's important. That's what matters. That you know me and my loving kindness and my judgment and my righteousness. He says, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to delight the Lord. Amen. I want to delight him. I think you do too. God's told us how to do it. Let's do it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us what really does matter in this world. It's not the things that the world says, it's what you say. And I pray that every person here knows you. I pray, Father, that if there's just one here that's never personally experienced your loving kindness, your mercy, and your grace, that right now you'd help them understand they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. They don't have to pay it themselves. Jesus paid it for them over 2,000 years ago when he went to Calvary's cross, and you laid all of mankind's sins upon your son, and he died in our place. He died for our sins. Father, help that person to exercise the measure of faith that you've dealt to them this morning, to believe what the Bible says and to come to Christ. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to know you more. Help us to not be satisfied with our knowledge of you now. We've experienced your loving kindness. We probably experienced your discipline in our life. Father, help us to know your righteousness. Your righteousness. And so I pray that you'd speak to Christians, Holy Spirit. If there's anything in our life that shouldn't be there, convict it of us this morning. If there's anything that should be there that's not, convict us of that as well. Help us to be obedient and responsive to what you show us in our life and to fix it. Just bless this time of invitation. Again, Father, use it as you see fit. Move in a mighty way, Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.